at the Wednesday evening Bible studies. We are looking at Matthew's telling of events leading up to the birth of Jesus. And on Sunday mornings in Advent, we're looking at Luke's Gospel and the events leading up to the birth of Jesus. And last week, we were introduced to Zechariah and Elizabeth, and we're going to revisit them today. And as usual, I'm reading a little bit more than what it says in the bulletin. I'm going to read Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 19. Hear now the word of God. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, Zechariah was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to Zechariah an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not use wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I really shouldn't go where I'm about to go, but last night... That was a financially strategic move on the part of the Bulldogs. You know that, don't you? I mean, if they had won that game, they wouldn't. I mean, there's going to be a big pie from the Fiesta Bowl. You know, somebody told me earlier the payday for the Fiesta Bowl is like $22 million, and a big chunk of that gets divided out to the other schools of the Mountain West. So it was a strategic loss. I see. You're not buying, are you? Yes. Last week, we looked at Israel's longing for a Messiah. It's one of the great themes of Advent. And as I said last week, longing is something, it's part of the human condition. It's something we all know. Perhaps you long for better relationships, or even just one relationship where you know you're loved. Maybe you long for more meaningful work to do, something of significance that's worthy of your best efforts. Maybe you long for health, and you're really tired of living with a body that hurts all the time. The traditional gifts of that we remember at Advent, one for each of the candles, love, joy, peace, hope, we all long for those things, don't we? We all long for a world that doesn't seem to be teetering on the brink of disaster all the time. And as I said last week, if you want to know God or move closer in your walk with God, don't try to escape your longing. Uncover it. Take it to Him. One thing that kids know, very often children have wisdom much greater than adults, because there's some things that we forget as we grow up. And one thing that kids know full well, if you're going to get what you really want for Christmas, you'd better ask for it. But as we get older and the disappointments pile up, we stop asking for what we really want. And at some point, I mean, let's just think of it in terms of Christmas. At some point, we get this grown-up notion that Christmas is all about giving, right? And we really shouldn't be thinking too much about receiving. So we knock ourselves out, spending more money than we can really afford to give people gifts to try to make them happy. Now here's a reminder of what you already know. At Christmas, we remember the greatest gift in the history of the universe. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. The kids have it right. Christmas is all about receiving. The only one who's doing the real giving is God. And the only thing for us to do is humble ourselves and open our hearts and receive. That's what God is looking for in the world, by the way. God is looking for humble, receptive hearts. And sometimes God will even break our hearts in order that His Spirit can enter in. In fact, God must break our hearts, because that's the only way we humble ourselves to receive Him. Now, last week, once again, we met Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were a mature couple who had status and success and broken hearts because they wanted a child and did not have one. They came from good families. Zechariah had a really good career. They had plenty of reasons to tell themselves they ought to be grateful. And they were in the season of life where we would think, okay, it's time for you to be giving, right? But buried deep in their hearts, there was a relentless yearning, a longing for a child. Now, Zechariah served as a priest in the Jerusalem temple, and one day he was chosen by lot to enter in, not into the innermost place, but one of the outer places, but where all the people could not go in. And he was chosen to enter in alone and burn incense. And the incense is symbolic of the prayers of the people. The great multitude of people, says Luke, were waiting outside, and they are all praying. And the incense represents their prayers making their way to God. Well, as Zechariah was dutifully going about his religious duties and giving his best, suddenly the angel Gabriel appeared to him, and he was terrified, which is a perfectly logical response to seeing an archangel. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." And Zechariah said, "How shall I know this?" Another translation, "How can this be?" Which seems to me a rather impertinent thing to say to an archangel, but very human. And the irony here is that Zechariah is a man of faith. He's a priest. And he's praying in the temple, the holiest place on earth. If God's going to hear your prayer anywhere, it's going to be at the temple, right? And all the people are outside praying. And it's as if all of a sudden an archangel shows up and says, "Okay, you can stop praying now. You've got it. You're going to have Elizabeth's going to have a baby. It's going to be a boy. You're going to name him John." I mean, does he need to get more specific? 9 pounds, 3 ounces? And Zechariah says, "How shall I know this? I think I understand him completely, and so do you." We are much better at asking than we are at actually receiving. Receiving is really scary because it'll change everything. Zechariah he's the embodiment of Israel's longing for a Messiah. It was a hope and a longing that went all the way back to Abraham and God's promise to Abraham that I'm going to bless you and make of you a great nation, and through your offspring all the world will be blessed. And by the way, Zechariah's question, "How can this be?" is an exact quote from Abraham, who asked the same question when God told him that he and his wife Sarah were going to have a child in their old age. Live long enough and you will understand this completely. We learn over time to suppress our hopes and our dreams. We don't want to be disappointed again. And so as long as life doesn't take a really tragic turn, we're content to go through life in a vaguely dissatisfied state. A young woman is rising up the corporate ladder, and she works compulsively every day to climb that ladder. But she's forgotten why she got into this career to begin with. And she just hopes that her bosses will notice the long hours that she's putting in. Or a middle-aged man realizes that he really doesn't like his job, but he's kind of stuck because it's too late to start something else. So he ignores that old longing for something really meaningful and significant. And he just keeps his head down, waiting for retirement. An older couple finally decides to sell the house and move into a retirement facility because they don't want their kids, their adult kids, to worry about them. But what they really want is time with those adult kids. But they'll settle for not being a burden. At every stage of life, we learn to lower our expectations. We settle for a little peace and a little love and a little joy and a little hope. But you know what? The message that Gabriel brought to Zechariah would indicate that God's not terribly interested in giving us a little bit of happiness and contentment. That's not on God's agenda at all. A little dose of happiness will only help you cope with your disappointment. The question raised by the gospel of Jesus Christ is not, can you live with unanswered prayer? The question that's raised by the gospel is, can you live with the answer? Because it's going to be scary. The question put to us by the coming of Jesus Christ is, do you believe God can bring salvation and transformation into your life, into your longing heart? That's why the birth of Jesus is really scary. If it doesn't scare you, you haven't really heard it. Christmas is not just about decorations and parties and too much food. All those things are great, by the way. It isn't about what you can do for others. It's about God breaking into this world and breaking into our old longings that have been suppressed many years. And God, in His mercy, will break your heart to do it. The birth of Jesus means that God has come into our world to give us the very scary gift of hope. And the hope that Jesus gives is scary and frightening because we can't control it. You know, what we really yearn for is to believe that Jesus is real today. When someone you love gets sick, you want to believe and know that Jesus the healer is there. You're hoping that your life can have some real enduring significance. You're hoping that you won't always be lonely. You're hoping that your sins have not completely scuttled your future, and that your life, your future, can be redeemed. And we're all hoping that this broken world is not just spinning out of control, but that God will bring it to a good and glorious end. But we can't control any of these things. They can only be given to us by God. The message of the birth of Jesus is that God is saying yes to all these old longings. But as I said last week, God probably is not going to answer your prayer the way you were expecting. Now, I'm going to get very personal here. The year behind us has been very difficult. I prayed my heart out that Covenant Presbyterian Church would stay together. And many of you prayed the same with all your heart. But that's not what happened, and it broke my heart. But God is faithful, and He showed me once again that a broken heart is the only kind He can use, the only kind that He can penetrate. The gift that God gave was not what I wanted. Covenant did not stay together. But there's grace. The grace is that God is faithful. A new church has been born, and it's becoming something new. And an older church, Covenant, is being reborn and is becoming something new by God's grace. And for me, the grace was to see that my prayers, our prayers, did not go unanswered, did not go unheard. We were praying to our Heavenly Father who holds us and will never forsake us and will not let us go. The promise of the birth of Jesus is not that you get what you want, but you have to keep praying and don't give up praying in order to get what you need. And what you need most of all is God. And we celebrate Christmas because that's exactly what we've been given in the birth of Jesus. God with us. In the flesh. From cradle to cross. And to the resurrection beyond. So don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Would you bow with me? Oh God, I pray for each one here. That by your grace, every heart would be broken before you. So that, oh God, you can then do your marvelous work of mending and renewing, of entering in to broken hearts that are open to you to do your work of making all things new. We thank you for Jesus, who was born into the dark night of a hurting world, went to the cross in our place, and now is risen to reign over all, and one day will return in great glory. Renew our hope in him, and I pray it in his name. Amen.